I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know what I'm going to say or do. I felt like I knew about where we might stand. Earlier in the week, I wished I could tell you what I feel right now. Wished I could tell you what I feel. Just thinking about what I feel real little right now. Feel real little. Just thinking about what Lamar said. About Fanny Crosby being blind and writing that about blessed assurance, and she absolutely blows my mind, Lamar. She really does. Her husband was blind, and she wrote blessed assurance because she was at a friend's house, and that lady started playing a tune on the piano, and she said, "Fanny, what do you hear?" She said, "I hear blessed assurance. Jesus is mine." That's what she said. She didn't write it in the middle of a church service. She didn't write it, have it all planned out and make sure everything rhymed. The lady played a tune on a piano and said, "What do you hear?" And that's what she said. I'm not musically inclined by any means whatsoever. Never stood up and sang a song. Don't even sit in the choir at Stoner's. I'm awful. I just really am. I can't play an instrument. I can't sing, but people blow my mind that can do things like that. That they could hear just a tune that a lady played. She said, "I can't get it out of my head. This is the tune." And she said, "Blessed assurance." That's what came out of her mouth. I feel like that lady was probably where she needed to be. They said she wrote thousands and thousands of songs, and most people's never heard hardly any of them. But we've got several of them in the song books, and we get to hear about them. People like that amaze me. They just really do, Randy. It's amazing that when you're where you need to be, God will do something for you. You know, you can only come to God when He calls you. She's probably sat and heard, she's heard probably more preaching than I've ever heard in my life. I ain't been saved that long. But on Friday, she got called. You can only come when you're called. She got called in her car. I got called by a bonfire. But you may get called at Mountain View Baptist Church and have to do it here at this altar. See, it's when He calls. He didn't gather up the disciples and say, "All y'all are coming with me." There's some things He does individually. There's some blessings that, yeah, you get to reap the benefits of. You get to drink out of the saucer. But guess what? The saucer don't hold the good content. See, you can only drink out of a saucer so long. It don't hold that much, Randy. When you get to drink out of the cup, that's the good stuff. When you get to get up off your hands and knees and stop eating scraps and pull up to the table, that's when you really start to enjoy salvation. That's when you start to enjoy the Lord. I feel good this morning. I really do. I'll be honest with you. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say off of this scripture. I got to preach tonight down near the house, and I got to having my own little pity party, thinking, boy, I ain't preached twice in one day since I was pastor, and it's been a little while. I feel out of condition, I guess you could say. And I started reading, and I started going, well, when do I preach this one then? Do I preach this one there? And it's like the Lord just separated it just how it's supposed to be, and He said, just go this way. But I started sitting there on the front row, and y'all started singing and started minding the Lord, Randy. You know, it's easy to get up and preach your thought when the choir gets up and sings like it's their job. It's hard to when they get up and sing because they want to. It's hard to figure out which way you need to go when people start singing about God and how they really love Him. See, it's easy to go to a church and watch the choir get up because they have to, because they're supposed to. It's hard to get exactly where you need to be when people get up because they get to, because they're happy about it. So we don't have to come to church. You don't have to. I'm going to let you in on a secret. You do not have to come to church. We get to. You don't have to serve the Lord. You don't have to get saved in this walk of life. But we get to. He created an opportunity for us. Why? When I got down this morning and I didn't pray for nothing except for I just laid on the bench and said, God, I don't even know why you let me walk in the doors with these people. I don't know why you let me sit on the front pew next to these men. I don't even know why you let me carry your word in my hand, or why you saved my soul, or why you let me get up behind a pulpit. But I'm thankful that you do. Sure, preaching gets hard and it feels like a burden sometimes, but it's really actually pretty easy, Randy. Because He's the one that does it. I just feel good this morning. I do. I really do. I just feel good this morning. I feel like I went to church. That's what I feel like. I feel like I went to church. You ever went and visited somewhere and you went in and you left and you thought, I just didn't get nothing out of that. Just didn't really feel much. Felt like we just was all in there because we had to be. But I appreciate times like this when I get to be. I told Randy, I'm gonna try to preach in a minute. I'm gonna try. I told Randy when that sister came down and started praying, I love to watch people pray. I like to pray when I need to pray, but I like to watch people pray. I like to watch the tears flow from their face. And I like to watch them other people come down and they don't even know what they're praying for. But they just want to try to be a help to them. Because they know where they stand. Everybody's concerned about that young man and his mom and dad and his prayer request. You don't get that everywhere. But people that love you and care about you and know what God can do in someone's life, that's the people that's always there for you. That's why we address people in the church as brother and sister. Because we're a part of the family of God. We're not Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. It's Brother Randy. We get to be in the family of God. We don't have to be. Whatever family you're born of and your last name, you can't do a thing about it. You're in that family your entire life. Change your name. Doesn't matter. That's still your mom and daddy. But we get to be in the family of God. Don't have to be. Something we can be born into. We can. We get to. But just like Brother Randy preached at Emmanuel a few years ago, not all. Not all. I'm going to read more scripture than I probably ever do, but this is what's on our heart. We're going to read out of the first chapter of Romans, and I think I'm also going to read out of Galatians, chapter number five, if you want to turn with us. My wife wanted me to tell you that she loves y'all, and sorry she couldn't come with me. We supposed to have our pastor and wife over after church and feed them, so she was going to stay close to the house so she could get that started. But she wanted me to tell y'all that she loves you. Romans chapter number 1. We're going to start in verse number 11. I think I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. The Bible says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." I'm going to read that again. "To the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed them unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I think that's what Fanny was saying, Lamar. For the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's important. I'm going to read that one again. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, convenient breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And in the book of Galatians, just going to read a few verses, chapter number 5. Now listen, this is important. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And I feel like that's as far as... No, I'm going to keep reading. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth of you. A little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye may... You will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? This is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they would even cut off which trouble you. And I feel like that's as far as we need to read. That's as far as we're going to go. But that's reading almost the whole chapter of Romans there. But I guess I've got a strange thought. And you're going to probably think I'm crazy. But this ain't even that part of the Scripture. But what I got to thinking about in this Scripture, and I'll have to lay some foundation to get to the point that we want to get to. And that's all I may do is end up laying foundation. But I wish I could get out the way the Lord put this in. I just kept studying and kept studying. And
I've got more than I'll probably ever preach this morning. One of these other men could bring it out way better than I could. But nonetheless, it's fell our Lord. And I guess I got to thinking about the Exodus and got to thinking about Moses. And I got to thinking about the children of Israel as they were enslaved there and in bondage there in Egypt. And I thought about the plagues that were brought upon. And we all know the stories. And finally, they were left out and they stood by the water side. And Moses raises the staff. They walk across on dry ground. They sing great praises. But what's the next thing that happens? The next thing that happens is moaning and groaning. This thing's gotten hard. We see when Moses goes up on top of the mountain to spend a little time with the Lord, 40 days, I believe it was. We know that they've already melted down earrings and made a golden calf and went their own way again. And we see countless times we see Moses comes down and they melt it down and make some drink of the water of that golden calf. And we see as they continue on and they see Canaan and exactly what they're supposed to do. There's disobedience and they're not allowed to come in. So they wander around the wilderness. They go and get that report. We know the scripture. We know the story. I'm just going to lay some foundation there. But we know that Caleb and Joshua go over and bring back that good report. And we know what they're exactly supposed to do. But they disobey God. And they don't get to go into Canaan at that time. But that's where they had their eyes fixed on. But all throughout that journey and all throughout this is where I want to try to get to. They had their eyes set on Canaan. Their eye on the prize, I guess you could say. And all of a sudden, they were looking back at Egypt, wandering around in the wilderness. They had their eyes set to the place they were supposed to go, but yet they found themselves turned around, wishing they were back in Egypt, wishing they were at least back in their own houses, wishing they were could at least be buried in their own graves, have their own jobs, and just go back to the way things were. Now, I'm talking about slavery. I'm not talking about where they paid a HOA and they had a nice neighborhood and they all lived and sang merry together. I'm talking about a place where Pharaoh had full reign on them, full rule over them. They were enslaved and in bondage. They weren't really hearing from God. They didn't know what they were supposed to do. They just were in fear and in death and slavery and entangled in bondage, church. Now, there was another time that came. It's that part in Romans that I started reading to you about. Let me tell you exactly what it said. Over in the book of Romans in chapter number 1, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We see at the earliest times, whenever they formed the tabernacle, I believe they had it at Shiloh for quite a while, but as the Ark of the Covenant traveled around, I'll be honest with you, that was about some of the most sincere time of worship that the Jews ever experienced. You see, because the longer that they went on, the more man thought that they had figured out. The more that they figured out, the worse off that they got. Every time man thought, boy, we've got this thing figured out. Look how powerful we are. It seems like God delivered them. I mean, He delivered them into the hands. It says He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines probably 3 or 4 different times. He led them over in bondage from the Babylonians. He put them in captivity many a times. See, it's funny how every time man thinks we've got things figured out, it's when we've got to be humbled and brought down to a certain level. And we see throughout this Exodus, we see that man tried to get themselves in the way. They start making a golden calf. They start murmuring. Well, I bet they were cheerful and happy as they started walking out of Egypt and they started carrying all their things, probably excited about their journey. And I just can imagine as they got to the edge of that sea by the waterside, they probably looked at Moses and thought, you fool, what have you done? They already forgot about the plagues that's happened. They already forgot about what God had done for their forefathers way on back when in Abraham. And we know that they, as soon as they get across the other side, they're singing praises. They're singing how happy they are. Praise God for leading us out. Just a few days in, they're just wanting to go back to being enslaved. And we know that God even blesses them, gives them manna down from the sky. And what do they start to say? Boy, we don't want this no more. I'm tired of the taste. But that's what man does today. We think we get things figured out. We think we know what's best for us when we need to let God be God today, church. See, that's the first Exodus I'm telling you about. But there was another one that was coming. They prophesied about it all the way through Isaiah. He told them there would be the one to come. John the Baptist said there's one to come that I'm not worthy to even latch his shoes. Now this was Jesus' cousin. It was his cousin, Randy. But there was another time coming. This book of Romans. Now we need to, I'll tell you, one of the most important things we can do when we study this Bible is put it in the correct timing of what was going on. We can't read Romans chapter 1 and say, boy, there's churches today not preaching the gospel. They're not preaching it like, that's not what Romans 1 is talking about. It's not talking about those that trusted God at one point and fell off and started going another way. They were talking about the Roman Empire. There was an empire being built all around this area that was swallowing up all the land. They were taking over pure power just by force. They're marching armies in. They were taking over, putting their own leadership in a town. And they were even nice about Jerusalem. At least the Caesar at that time, he at least respected the Jewish religion enough to kind of leave them alone. He put the Romans in there and over in power, but he honestly just let them do about what they needed to do at that time. And we know that Pontius Pilate was put over them. He was there about 10 years, I believe he was. But what's amazing about Pontius Pilate that we get wrong, we think that he's just this just man. We think he's this man that just, Jesus was just coming up for the very first time. First time he had ever heard about him. That's not the case here. Pontius Pilate was after the Jews. He'd two or three different times tried to lure them in to get them to rebel so he could squash them. But luckily, Tiberius kind of ruled that back in. But Pontius Pilate had it out for him. He really did. Now, I'm just telling you this so we can establish some groundwork of what was going on at that time. The Romans, I mean, it's called the Book of Romans. We know the Romans ruled basically the whole world, biblical world at that time. Now, there was pagans. There was Greek mythology. They believed in the sun god and all these things. It wasn't just Christianity. Everyone walking around with a King James Version Bible that was getting stoned and maybe some Jews scattered around. But we had Rome. They had their own beliefs. We had all these different religions around the world. Christianity was the absolute minority, church. Now the Roman Empire had it out for them. They did overall because they wanted nobody to rebel. That means they could keep power over it. Now what's amazing is how many times we read things like we do in the book of Galatians and say, well, that was us falling out of the will of God. But it wasn't. How many times? Paul wrote 13 letters to the churches. Probably wrote 14 or 15 books, honestly, in the New Testament. But 13 letters. Do you know what he says almost every single time? He says, go forward, stand fast, be unmovable, run your race, continue on. Then why do we read so many times of Scripture like Galatians, ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Let me tell you what was going on at this time. The Jews at this time thought they had it all figured out. Jesus didn't walk into the temple and say, wow, y'all are doing a good job. The first thing he did was flip a money changer's table over. Y'all made this into a den of thieves. And we see so many times where the Jews had strayed so far. Caiaphas was the high priest, supposed to be the most upright man. This man was as crooked as anybody. This man was out for money, out for power, making sure he had the nicest robe, the greatest looking person out there. He did. And this was the man that was supposed to go between two veils and go back to the holiest of holies every single year and come out and provide a sacrifice for the sins of the people. How far they had fallen. And many of them probably thought, boy, this ain't that big of a deal. This is more convenient. I ain't got to raise up a perfect lamb without spot and blemish anymore. I can go up there and flip a coin down and get one and walk in and have my sacrifice made. See, we think things that are more convenient and streamlined are always better, but that's not always the case. Sometimes we got to put some work in if we want to see something happen. There ain't a farmer that watches crops come up and just walks out there and picks them. He did some work before then. But we see the Jews think they've got it all figured out. And as soon as Jesus comes on the scene and starts preaching that he is the Christ, that he's going to tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, a temple not made with hands, see, he's now threatened the authority that the Jews had. They had a good foothold in Rome. Boy, we got all buddied up with Tiberius. We can do whatever we need to now. Let me tell you how close the Jews were with Tiberius. See, Pilate did whatever he could to pick at them and go after them. There's times in the book of Josephus, if you go and read that, the story in Josephus, he actually records three or four different accounts where he brought in great big Roman eagles and ensigns is what Josephus calls them, and brings them in at night. So he puts them up and they see them the next day and they come mad, and he basically tells them, I'll just kill all of you. He surrounded them with armies, and what, you know what they did? They wrote a letter to Tiberius and he made them take them down. He did this so many times that Tiberius removed him out of power. Now you say, why are you telling me all this, preacher? The Jews had gotten so buddied up with Rome. They started fearing the creature instead of the creator. That's what they started doing. That's why I read that to you. They started fearing the creature more than they did the creator. We've got a lot of people today that are fearing man way more than they've ever feared God. We've got churches today fearing the establishment of what they think they're supposed to be more than they ever did just fear God. There ain't nothing wrong with fearing God. Lamar, I'm not sure he could squash me like a bug at any minute, but I'm not afraid of that. I serve him because I love him, Lamar. I don't serve my dad because I'm scared he's going to whip me every 5 seconds. I serve him because I respect him and I love him and I'm thankful for the things he's done for me. That's why I serve my Heavenly Father. Not because I'm worried about the whippings all the time, but because of the blessings that He's given me in my life that I'm not worthy of. Now, I told you all that for this. All these letters that He says, and He said, ye did run well. Ye did run well. Now, you can apply that to your own life. That's fine. It's got some application. There's plenty of times in our life that we did run well and something came and hindered us. Most of the time, it's us. We're the ones that hindered us. You want to be closer to God? You're wondering why you're not? It's you. It's that simple. It ain't Randy. It ain't the church. We want to know why we're not saved, because maybe we're not seeking. It ain't the old devil being a monkey on our back. Now I'm going to tell you the good news, and I'll hush. I don't feel like I'm going to be very long. Now all this took place, that first Exodus I told you about. There was bondage, just like sin, they were brought out of. And there was a way being made for them. Now there was a man named Joshua that came along. There was also a man named Jesus that came along. See, he was able to take you all the way into Canaan. Moses couldn't and the law couldn't. All the law let you get to was death. It did not bring life. It says the law brought death. And you know what happened at this time? The Jews said, well, if these Christians are going to be anything or a part of us, then they're going to have to be circumcised and they're going to have to be following the Jewish religion. One of them spoke up and said, would we put on a yoke of bondage that even our fathers or us could not even uphold? That's what the law brought. It brought death. We could go down all, I don't even know, there's like 600 different commandments. I promise you, we could not keep all of them. We could not keep all of them. All it brought was death. All it let us know is that we are imperfect, but this one that came is perfect. He upheld all of them for 33 or so years while he was on this earth. Now think about, you ever thought about what Jesus actually went through? Sometimes we do it like a fairy tale and say, well, he came, died for the sins. But if you think about it, Randy, I'm going to be honest with you. You ever thought about what Jesus went through while he was here? Think about when he started preaching the ministry. Think about when he started actually having to speak up and say, I am the Son of God. It is me. If you want life, the one you're looking for, it was me. Can you imagine how many spit on him, cussed at him, hit him with rocks or stones? Putting a crown of thorns on his head. Can you imagine having to go city to city to city to make sure you weren't killed at the wrong time? This man, he didn't just come and die for the sins of the whole world. He faced some nasty persecution. He faced some guile. He faced some stuff that we'll never experience in our life. When we think about that, it will make you respect Jesus even more. About the life that he lived on this wretched earth. You know, I'll be honest with you, after the miracles, after the healings, after all this, I guarantee you Caiaphas and the Jews said, uh-oh, this man really may be it. But we can't give up what we've got. Look what we've got. See, that's where I got to when I was lost and undone. I got to a place where I said, I can't give all this up. But when I did, I got everything. See, what we think is best is always the worst. I'm just going to be honest with you. What we feel like we need is always wrong. Have you ever noticed that? What we feel like our wants are and our desires are, they're always wrong. But for some reason, God's always on time. He always delivers exactly what we needed. I don't believe they sat there when that little young lad brought all them baskets. I don't believe they ate all that bread and all that fish and thought, boy, I'm stuffed. I believe they got exactly what they needed. That's what Jesus will give you. Now, I'm going to finish this. The Romans putting pressure. You got the Greeks putting pressure. You got the Jews putting pressure. The Christians are being blamed for just about everything. And he's saying, stand fast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the Lord. Trust God. Keep running. Run this race with patience. But every time Paul or somebody would go and preach, there came the Judaizers. There came somebody behind them saying, don't go that way. Come back to this way. You know this way. This way's familiar. But Paul said, keep going. Keep on moving. That's what we got to do, Randy. Now, this man named Jesus, he did come and die for the sins of the whole world. But you want me to tell you the good news? He made a place that we could dwell with him. Not just that he came and died and rose, but he made a place. He said, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. For you. That's us. That's us too. We're a part of that you. That gets me excited, Randy. I love whenever I get to read that scripture. I'm going to read you something. I wasn't going to do this. I was actually probably going to read this tonight and preach on this, but this is what I'm going to do. Listen to what Hebrews 7 and 8 says. Yay, and all, if y'all don't get excited about this, it gets me excited. It says here in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter number 7. It says, verse number 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, and inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. He was made priest. Now it says, for those priests were made without an oath, for this was an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. That's good news. By so much that was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Now, unchangeable. We might change, but he don't. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing the ever liveth, to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily at those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests. Now I'm going to read that again. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. That means this is it. This is the sum up the whole thing. It says, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. That gets me excited. He said a tabernacle pitched by him, not of man. I get excited when I read the book of Revelation. It says the tabernacle of God is almost with man, or is one day going to be with man. I get excited. You know why, Brother Lamar? It says the tabernacle of God is with men. That's what we can dwell in today. Not wait until tomorrow. Can't put that one out in the future. You can't do it. It says is. The tabernacle of God is with men. It's what it says. It's what the Bible says, not me. See, Noah's Ark was pitched within and without. It was pitched. That's what pitch is. It's put together. That was the house, not made with hands. A tabernacle is a wonderful thing. It's not a church. There's a lot of churches called the tabernacle. That's not what it is. It's not a place. It's not a building like that. See, the Garden of Eden was probably the first tabernacle, I would say. It was a place where man and God could dwell. You know what happened? Sin came in, separated us. There was an exodus. There was a taking out. There was a departing. There was a walking away from. Thanks be unto God, there was one that came that brought us back into fellowship with God. Not one day after a while, not hope soon, nothing. He said the tabernacle of God is with men. That's what we can experience today, Randy. We can have it today. I've still been chewing on Daniel 12's message, Randy. Preached a couple weeks ago. I appreciate what Randy said because do you know how important it is for us to understand what God's Word is for us? For us. To understand what God was truly doing. See, because they will believe what they believe because that's all they hear. Is that what you said, Randy? Yeah. He said you will believe what you believe if that's all that you hear. But you can believe what you believe because it's what you studied. Because it's what God gave you. You know how much better it is whenever you get to work for something and you get to the end and you say, look at what this is. You know how much it's... What's more fulfilling, honestly? The days you went out and you sweat and you garden and you pull something off and you go inside and give it to your wife or you get in there and cook it? Just feels good. Don't feel the same when you walk to the store and swipe a card and you take it home with you. You don't think about them vegetables. You ever thought about that when someone gets up and preaches? There's some golden nuggets, there really is. But the times in the midnight hour when you're burning that oil and you're searching for answers like Lamar's talking about, when you're so troubled, I've gotten to that place. I'm in that part of my ministry where I want to know exactly where I stand with God and what I stand for. I'm in that spot. Me and a lot of them young preachers down there at Stoners, we've been troubled. You ought to be. You ought to want to know what you're supposed to know. If we're okay with getting it from the preacher, we're in the worst spot we could possibly be in. Men are fallible creatures. I've heard men get up that I hold in high regard and say the wrong chapter and quote that same scripture. It's not anything wrong with that. They're just human. We ought to get the message from God, but we ought to go in and double check and make sure that's where we stand. We ought to. It says the tabernacle of God is with men. I hope you go and fact check that. Book of Revelation. He said a new Jerusalem would come out. Thank God it did. Thank God He gave us a place not made with hands. You know where it is? It's right here. Randy, I've been having heart trouble. Been having to go to the cardiologist. Cardiologist said you better take it easy. Better not do nothing too strenuous. I got to go down and see a specialist. They might have to put a defibrillator in, is what they said. They can open me up and replace this heart and still not see what I can feel. Man can take out someone else's heart and put it in your body and thump it and it come to life. That's amazing. It really is. It's amazing what man can do. You ever checked out God? You ever saw what He's done? You ever went and looked in this book and saw the thing? That's what my God did, Randy. That's what my God did. Muhammad's in a tomb somewhere. Gandhi's buried somewhere else. Mine's empty. The tomb where my God resided was borrowed. It was temporary. But He set up a place for us eternally. They're still trying to figure out what they believe in the Middle East. There's one still writing in the Quran today. They're still trying to figure it out. If they'd look, it's not hard to see. Look what my God's done. Look what my God's done. I'm telling you, church, it excites me when I think about all the places that Abraham walked that God helped him. All the places that Moses, the walls fell down. My God that saw all that is the same one that saved me. He's the same one that saved you in your car. That's who we serve. He's an individual God. In the book of Genesis, it could have said, and God created the children of Israel. That's what it could have said, but He started with one man and one woman. That's how God deals with you. I don't remember who said it. I think it was Lamar, but I don't want to put words in his mouth. Every time I'd ever seen a church do communion, because I'd not been around a long time, you pass out your bread, or you pass out your juice or whatever, and you sit and you wait till everybody has it. You pray, and everyone takes it together. And y'all may do it that way. Don't fall out with me. That ain't what I'm saying. But Lamar, I believe it was Lamar. I remember the first time I ever took communion with him. I passed out that bread. He stuck it in his mouth. And I thought, somebody's going to say something to him. Did you see what he just did? You know what Lamar said after that? He said, I didn't get saved the same time as you. God dealt with me when He dealt with me, and I'll have my time with Him. I've sat in churches where every time people wait, I have recently. As soon as it got to me, I plopped that thing in. You know what I did? Bowed my head and thought about when God saved me. Didn't have to wait and think about when God saved everybody else. That's when He saved me. I get happy whenever... I don't even like the Days of the Week song. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of it. But you know what? I get real excited. When people ask to sing it, I think, oh, here we go. Singing that again. But you know what? When it gets to a Friday, you know what I do, Randy, when I sit up here? They say, when it was on a Friday, I stand up and I do this. Because I want to see who else got it the same day that I did. I don't know why He did anything for me, but I sure am glad that He did. Now, it's important. If you didn't get anything out of this, I don't even know if I got out what I even tried to get out. But I'm going to tell you this. There was a time that we're not living in where a lot of this was wrote to. In a time where people had to see the promises and hear of them and just tales of the promises afar off. That there's a man coming to die for the sins of the whole world. That He's the Messiah. They had to hear about it. It was a whisper, a promise. Book of Hebrews says a promise is afar off and not having received them yet. Now let me tell you what day we live in. How fortunate we are. We've been a part of that second Exodus that was brought out. Where Jesus went all the way for us so we could go all the way back to God. What they do under the law? They were hidden in a cleft of a rock, saw His hinder parts, couldn't even see Him all the way, couldn't look at Him face to face. But there's a day of grace that we get to live in. Where we can have blessed assurance, glory divine. Oh, what a foretaste. It ain't a foretaste, it's a big gulp. When you get saved, you get to fully taste in Christ today. You can see Him face to face. Don't have to see the promises afar off. I just recently, I guess I'm falling apart. I hit my 30s, I'm falling apart. Had a cyst in the back of my head, got to get an MRI for that. Well, then they wanted me to go to an optometrist. Had to get glasses. And you know what? I didn't think I needed glasses. I really didn't. I left them in the car. I realized how bad right now I need my glasses. Now, I say that for this reason. I thought that I could see good. When I put those glasses on, things changed. You know how I found out that I couldn't see good? I had to go to somebody that knew what they were talking about. That knew how to fix my problem. You know what you're going to have to do today? The same thing blind Fanny Crosby had to do. Come to a realization that they're lost without God. Now, when I said at the beginning, you can only come when you're called, this is what I mean by that. You know how many times, how many testimonies we've all heard. That preacher got up and preached that same message I'd heard so many times, but it was different this time. Or how many people said, that preacher got up and preached a message, couldn't even tell you what he said. But God was speaking to them. She heard a lot of messages in her life. Her daddy's a preacher, good man of God. Heard him preach many a times. He probably preached the same messages many a times. Probably prayed for many a times in your own living room. Probably preached many a messages to her in that own living room, telling her about God. I bet he wished she would have got it sitting right there. I bet he don't care now. As long as you get it, that's what matters. It's not about how many times or how many opportunities or how many services or who was preaching. It's about you and God. You know what I appreciate? What she said? This is the most important part about getting saved. Is that when you lay your head on your pillow at night, that you're right with God. She said it was great when she sat in church, but when she laid her head on her pillow at night, she realized there was something wrong. I was the same way. Told everybody I was saved when I was 7 years old because that's what I was supposed to do. Everybody's supposed to get saved. I'm 7 years old. I ain't saying you can't get saved when you're seven. I've seen them younger than that. Still living a good life for the Lord. But I didn't have what I said I had, but I'd already told everybody what I had. So what was I going to do? It doesn't matter when you get it. It matters that you get it. We live in a day where it's so easy to get saved and we make it so hard. Now these people are carrying livestock for hundreds of miles to go and shed blood and hope to God that Caiaphas comes out and says, your sins are all forgiven. You know how symbolic that Bible is? I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to hush. You know what the high priest would do during that feast? He would come out and there would be two animals there. He would choose which one that they were going to sacrifice. I read of a time when Pilate walks out and says, do you want this Jesus? You want this Barabbas? You know what man chose? Barabbas. You know what the world has chose? The world. Thank God the church, most of them, are still following God. If we start to fear man way more than we fear God, we will also follow the world. We should trust in what God can do. His hands are not too short. His ears not too heavy. He can still do all things. We shouldn't walk down the road kicking the can. If you're saved by God's grace, the victory has already been won. The tabernacle of God is with men. That's what we can have today. That's what you can have today. Then come sing of a verse of a song. Make sure you take part in that second Exodus, that one that you get to come out of bondage and not ever have to turn around and go back to. You know the good news about being saved? I can't get lost again. I can't go back to the former me. Thank God, Lamar. It said that old things were passed away and all things became new. I became a new creature. A new creature in Christ. I became a part of the body of Christ. A lot of people take that scripture I read in Galatians and they try to say you can lose your salvation. Let me tell you something. That scripture there in the book of Galatians ain't talking about that. If you ain't good enough to get into heaven, you ain't bad enough to get out of God's hands. You just can't. That's the type of God that we serve. Eternal security. That ain't a license to sin. That ain't what it is. It's an opportunity to serve the God that created this whole thing. Sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and I. Why not get saved this morning? It says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If He's calling you today, if the call came to you today, it's time to pick up the phone. He said, if I stand at the door and knock, if the Gentiles open. It said, if you would open, He'd come in and sup with you, and you can sup with Him. That's what we've got in our God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Don't you want to be a part of that? I sure did.
Yeah.
I didn't want it at the time. Didn't want it maybe when Randy Jackson would have been my pastor. Didn't want it at those certain times, but I'm so thankful I got it. I leaned over to Randy and I thought, while Lamar was up here, I've been thinking about a lot of these. I don't want to call them older. I'll call them elder. But I've been thinking about a lot of these that went before me. And I wish I could have been around and sat in revival and heard J.O. Jarrett, Griffin Crumley, and heard some of these men that I never got to meet. Would have loved to hear Jesse Parker, Billy Williams. I would have loved to have heard them and met them, Randy. I would have. But I'm thankful for what I get to sit under and hear now. I really am. Your testimony is your testimony for a reason. I feel like I got whooped one time because I stood up and I kept saying over and over and over that I wished I'd have got it earlier, wished I'd have got it earlier, wished I'd have got saved when I was young. I'd have had so much of a better life. But you know what, Lamar? That's not my testimony. I'm proud of my testimony now. Sure, I lived a wretched life. Did drugs, cussed, drank alcohol about every chance I could get. I did. Lived however I wanted to. When God saved me, I'm telling you, He made a new creature. It ain't anything that I'm great. I ain't high and lifted up. I'm not the epitome of what a Christian should be. I'm just thankful to be a part of it. If I can just be a doormat in the house of God, I'm okay with that. In the body of Christ, I'll be the bottom of the foot. That's what I deserve. I just want to be a part of it. That's how we ought to be. Just willing to be a part. Whatever it is, that's what I'll do. That's what I told God one day. I don't know what it is, but I'll just do it. Everybody will stand. Go ahead. If you need to pray this morning, just come pray. Don't try to talk to yourself. Don't try to get to a place where you say, well, I can put it off. Well, I can wait till next time. Well, if this feeling comes back, maybe it'll happen again. Maybe it'd be the last time you play a piano and sing a song. Maybe it's the last time you're at Mountain View Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. We don't know that. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you, if God calls you, it's time to answer. It's time to step out. Don't see how good God is and see Canaan land in your sight and see the glories of God in what everyone else has and find yourself turned, walking back to Egypt in bondage and slavery. There was nothing good for them back in Egypt. Nothing. And yet there was people still wanting to go back to that. You would think that anything besides that was better. But they still wanted to go back. That's what man decides, what we think is best. If you think it's best for you to sit through this and hope that it goes away, you're wrong. If you think that it will go away, you're wrong. If you think that you can do something good enough to get into heaven, you are wrong. It's through Him. Everyone's got to come. Everyone. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, 1 second after death, everyone is a believer. Everyone. Whether you say you don't believe in God or not, 1 second after death, you'll believe. You'll realize that you aren't on the place that you heard preached about, talked about, posted about, whatever you want to say. There's people that have spent their whole life, and I'll hush, they spent their whole life trying to prove that God's not real. They have. I've got two books at home. One of the man's name's Lee Strobel. He was a reporter in Chicago. He spent his whole professional life trying to prove that God was not real. I mean, a very successful reporter. He was an atheist, did not want his wife going to church, didn't want his kids hearing about God, did everything he could to try to squash it out. So he went on an adventure, I guess you could say, and he was going to prove for sure that God was not real. He went and he investigated doctors and lawyers and all these people, collected all the evidence. You know what the end of it came to? I'd love to tell you that he said, God is not real. You know what happened? At the very end of the story, in the book, in his testimony, they even made a movie about it. The man found himself on his hands and knees at his coffee table, begging God to save him. He wrote a book with another man that was a lawyer, did the same thing. He tried to legally prove that it was impossible that God was real, that the timelines didn't match, that the people weren't real, and that all of it was made up. You know what he found himself? On his hands and knees begging for God to save him. It don't matter how hard you try to prove that God's not real, how hard you try to walk away from God, He's still God.
Amen.
Whether you think you did something or not, you did nothing walking away from God. He's real today, and He'll become more real in your life if you'll get saved. I could read those scriptures in that Bible when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, however old, and I didn't understand none of it. I could remember a few characters, but for some reason it didn't speak to me. But November 22nd, 2013, there was a difference in my life when I opened that Bible and started reading about what my God did and what my Jesus that saved me did. It brought life unto me. He can, you too. Don't put it off. Just come on. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Don't hope that somebody else was here. Just, if God's calling you, come.